You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What up, world? Welcome one and all to another episode of Ocho Live, presented to you in partnership, as always, with SB Nation's bloggingtheboys.com. My name is RJ Ocho. You know me, of course, from BTB and from right here as your humble host on Ocho Live. You can watch our live shows every Tuesday and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time on my Twitter or Periscope or the Blog on the Boys Facebook live feed. You can listen to the podcast version of all of our shows every day of the week on the Blog on the Boys podcast feed. Make sure you go subscribe. There you can have access to all of our shows on the Blog on the Boys podcast network. Of course, Ocho Live, the 750 with myself and two-time Super Bowl champion Tony Casillas, plus Bruise and the Boys and Talking the Star. It is Friday. Welcome to March. This is March 1st, 2019. It is officially the Friday of NFL Combine Week, which means lots of things are happening around the NFL. Lots of things are happening to do with the Dallas Cowboys. We do have a brand new episode of the 750 available for you in your feed. Tony and I got into all things Jason Witten, and obviously Thursday's episode of the show was all about his unretirement, coming back to the Cowboys. I mean, you know, it's the biggest thing to happen to the Cowboys in the offseason in quite some time. Yes, 2 years ago, Tony Romo retired. Yes, a year ago, Jason Witten retired, and they released Dez Bryant. But for somebody to come back, you know, for it to, you know, flock the opposite direction is quite a big deal. Today's episode will be joined by a very special guest, good friend of the program, Bobby Belt of Cowboys Cast and NFL Network fame. We'll get into Jason Witten and some thoughts that we have on the issue, plus some things to do with the NFL draft and hopefully some nuggets that Bobby can give us. He is a fantastic insider when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Some news that broke on Friday. David Irving, Dallas Cowboys defensive lineman, technically, while the Cowboys have come out and said that they have no intention of bringing him back, David Irving was suspended indefinitely by the NFL for violating the substance abuse policy. It was reported earlier in the week that he could be facing a possible suspension, and it seems like that has finally happened. This is, of course, the same thing that happened to Randy Gregory earlier in the week, who was suspended indefinitely for the same violation, except the Cowboys, I mean, to put it bluntly, believe in Randy Gregory and have not given up on him. While they have come out and said they have no intention of bringing David Irving back, the Cowboys have been very vocal about their support of Randy Gregory. So quite interesting to look at the state of both defensive linemen. David Irving has had a troubled past with the Cowboys and in the NFL as a whole. You'll remember that Will McClay poached him off of the practice squad of the Kansas City Chiefs back in 2015, and he just had such enormous talent and really looked like he was going to be, you know, somebody that McClay could kind of hang his hat on as a great find. But that ultimately has not been the case. This will technically be the third season in a row in which David Irving is suspended at season's beginning. He missed games in both the 2017 and 2018 seasons. And it does appear as if his overall future in the NFL is in doubt. You know, so while that's unfortunate, other things have been going on. Again, the Jason Witten fallout has been really interesting to see the reaction from You know, many Cowboys players, Zeke and Dak and Jalen Smith and Kayvon Frazier, so many guys taking to social media to really show their support and having Jason Witten back. The Cowboys put out a great video on their social media pages. It was very small and short and succinct and to the point, but Witten's locker getting put back in place. Very, very, very cool to see. It's an exciting thing. Look, I get it that maybe you feel, especially with a day to digest it, that this isn't the best move for the Cowboys. For what it's worth, I don't think this prohibits them from drafting a tight end, perhaps even in the second or third round, or from signing somebody else in free agency. As we talked on Thursday, I think your very safe bet is that Witten, Blake Jarwin, and Dalton Schultz are your three tight ends as of now that are on the Cowboys roster. They probably won't bring back Jeff Swaim, and Rico Gathers, that experiment is probably over. There's certainly room for somebody else. This is lukewarm. That's really what it is. It's fun and it's cool. It doesn't mean the end of the earth. It doesn't mean the Cowboys are moving backwards as an organization or philosophically. It just kind of, as they say, and I really hate this saying if I'm being honest, it is what it is. But so that's interesting. So all that being said, let's go ahead and talk about Jason Witten with our guest. Welcome aboard to Ocho Live, Bobby Belt of Cowboys Cast and NFL Network. With us now is a great friend of mine, somebody who you all know well, somebody who I've probably done more podcasts with than I think anybody in the history of the world. The one, the only, Bobby Belt, host of Cowboys Cast, field producer for NFL Network, and again, my good pal. He's on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX, but more importantly, he's right here with you right this moment. Bobby, how are you, amigo?
I'm awesome. I'm curious, now that you've said that, I'm sitting here trying to think in my head, would you say we've done like 30 podcasts together? Or like maybe like 50. I think we've done a lot.
I put the over under at like, I don't know, like 42 and a half. I put the over under like right there, and I'd take the over.
Yeah, I think we're somewhere in that vicinity because I've done yours probably four or five times. And then I think, man, we had you on Cowboys Cast like weekly almost for like a year there, I think.
What is your favorite podcast episode we've ever done together?
Oh, you know what? And it's one that a lot of people got like kind of, I remember specifically somebody's reply to it was like, wow, we really are in the off season, aren't we? There's like nothing to talk about. But honestly, my favorite was like when we talked about like what numbers look best on what positions.
Right. No, that was good. I did enjoy that. Do you remember our first podcast? Do you remember how you introduced me the very first time?
I don't remember how I introduced you, but I do remember that our very first podcast, we were talking about Joseph Randall versus Darren McFadden. And I remember you made this analogy about like sitting across the dance floor waiting for Darren McFadden to come like actually ask you to dance or something. And like that's what you were like you were still waiting on Darren McFadden to fall through. Because at that point, it looked like Joseph Randall was the dude for them. And then, of course, Joseph Randall had issues with underwear and, you know, loosely holding the ball and lots of other things. And then Darren McFadden finished fourth in rushing. So
that's right. I think that you owe me an apology because I was team McFadden. And
absolutely. Look, and this is one of the things that I've said over and over again in relation to like Taco, which everybody knows I'm not a fan of Taco or anything else. Like, I will give credit where it's due. When I am wrong, I will absolutely say I was wrong, and I will like fully like own up to being an idiot. And so because of that, I will say that I was an idiot, and you were right, and I was wrong. I actually had an entire podcast episode with our friends Patrick Walker and Cammy Griffin, like basically mea culpa. You guys were totally right, and I was wrong. So, yeah, no, I'll say when I was wrong, when I was an idiot, and I was wrong, and I was an idiot, and you were right.
We're off to a really good start here. You introduced me that day as saying that I rooted for Darren McFadden because he had previously worn black and silver and because I was a San Antonio Spurs fan. So another thing in which I am superior.
I had no idea how much I was really like reaching through and touching your heart at that moment by making a comparison of jersey colors.
That's true. And by talking about, again, the greatest basketball team in the state of Texas. So, you know, I'm proud of you that you were able to acknowledge it then and here and now. So good for you, Bobby. But we both come a long way since then. Again, 40 some pods later.
I mean, And my favorite Spur ever is Kawhi Leonard. Just share that.
I hate you with all of my heart. But, okay, look, I wanted to have you on specifically this particular Friday is when people are downloading it. And it was a really, really wild Thursday in a lot of ways. And I don't know. I don't know how to compartmentalize it. I mean, what are your takeaways from Jason Witten coming out of the booth?
You know, it's funny. I felt like when I saw it, and this is such a cliche thing to say, I think, but I felt like when I saw it, I genuinely, as cliche as it sounds, like had to sit there and go like, it's not April 1st. Right. Like I really thought, like I really double checked for the check mark and
yeah,
like, wasn't sure who it was coming from. And cause where I first saw it was, Garofalo. And when I saw he tweeted it, I was definitely checking for the check mark, definitely checking to make sure this wasn't Uncle Chaps or something like this. And then when it was absolutely real, I immediately went around and started showing people around my office and got the same sort of reaction for everybody. That's not real, is it? Is that really the Cowboys Twitter? What is that? And so I think it caught everybody by surprise. And I think the stunning thing is, you know, from just what I'm inferring based off of what you see people saying who are in the know publicly and, just, you know, kind of what I hear privately is I don't think they landed in Indianapolis this week and this was the plan. I think this came together really, really fast.
I think you're right. Meredith Land of NBC5 tweeted a video late Thursday night, and it was at an event, like a wine event. I know Charlotte Jones was there, and she just caught up with him for a couple minutes. And she asked him, she said, how long has this been in the works? And he said, really just a couple of days. You know, and he said it had all really come together really fast. He said, and I thought this was the most interesting thing. He said, I've been thinking about it for 9 months, though. And I'll do the math for you, Bobby. That would put us in June of 2018. I don't know that I buy that he was really thinking about it in June. I feel like, I don't want to, you know, paint him this way, but I feel like he didn't really start to consider it until things started to go really south in the booth.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not a big fan of Colin Cowherd these days anyway. Old school Colin I was a big fan of, but as he's grown his brand, I've become less of a fan. But he said something yesterday where he said, let's be honest, he said, if things were all hunky-dory in the booth, Jason Witten's not coming out of retirement.
Right.
And I think that's true. And I will say that, and nobody take this as Witten slander, please. I absolutely love Jason Witten. He's one of my favorite players of all time. But, you know, I did think it was a little poetic, I guess, that he went viral shortly after retiring, writing this, you know, post for ESPN about rabbit ears, essentially, that, you know, these guys, they're too in tune with criticism and what they're seeing on social media, and they live and die by it, and you can't be that way. And then it seemed like, I guess I don't know this, but it seemed like Witten became that guy when he went to the booth, that he was super in tune with the criticism and he was really letting it get to him. And I just don't think it ended up being what he wanted or what he thought it would be. And now he's back on the field.
I do agree with you that I think he was very easily influenced over the last year, whether that be, hey, Jason, we want you to write these blog posts for the site. You know, they'll do really well. Tell us about, you know, what it's like to be a player. You offer that insight, blah, blah. Or whether it was, you know, hey, man, tell a joke, you know, or whether it was like, just roll with it, roll with the bad stuff, the rabbit out of your head thing and whatever. It does feel like he got pushed into a lot of directions. And so maybe he just does kind of, maybe he is seeking that, you know, that comfortability that being a tight end for the Cowboys would offer.
Yeah. And I think and this has kind of been kicked around, I think the bigger thing is he wants to coach. And I think that's where this is heading. I think this is a coaching internship of sorts. And I think eventually, you know, Ben Rogers from 105.3 The Fan, who reported all the way back in November that he thought this was close.
Yeah, this is his dashboard confessional moment because he's vindicated.
A lot of people wrote him off and ripped him. And I remember I texted with Ben that night when it had fallen apart. And, you know, we just traded some thoughts. And it was like, you know, we always know, and I think you know this, you hear stuff behind the scenes, and you know it falls apart. That doesn't mean it never existed. There's a lot of stuff that's close and never comes to be. And so that was just the thing. Like, Ben just got burned by it fell apart when it looked like it was going to happen. And so, but I know Ben yesterday had said that he thinks that ultimately, like, Jason Witten wants to, that his goal would eventually be to, like, be head coach of the Dallas Cowboys or the Tennessee Volunteers.
Right.
It makes a ton of sense. Before he went to the booth, there were rumors that the Volunteers were thinking about hiring him. And I think he is definitely more coach material than, you know, in a lot of ways, they're similar football minds, Witten and Romo. But it's just the personality and the way they approach things. Romo's fit is definitely the booth over coaching, I believe. And I think Witten's fit is definitely coaching over the booth.
I just find the whole thing really funny because I know that we've talked about this. I know we've tweeted about this and things. You know, it's a really sort of common thing. I mean, just, oh, well, Sean Lee will be the linebackers coach, and let's get DeMarcus Ware, and he'll coach, you know, the pass rushers, and let's get Romo for offensive coordinator, and Witten can coach the tight ends. And every time we see that, I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like we kind of scoff a little bit. And so I just found the whole thing kind of hilarious that really happened. I mean, that like actually happened.
Yeah, and I mean, I remember I tweeted a couple months ago, not about anybody in particular, but, you know, I said, you know, I hate to break it to you guys, but your favorite player would probably not be like a great coordinator of your favorite team.
Right.
It doesn't usually work that way. But I mean, I think Jason Witten, somebody that a lot of people thought was an exception to the rule. I think a lot of people thought he had, you know, coaching manner and things. I mean, it's no different than, you know, I'm sure there were Patriots fans who seemed like homers a little bit back in the day when they were saying, I want Mike Vrabel to coach the defense. Like, I'm sure there were people who said that.
Right.
And, you know, Mike Vrabel ended up being a head coach. So, I mean, it's not that players can't be coaches. They obviously are often. It's just, it's not always a translation of, man, they're good, or man, they're smart, to they're being coaches. The only two guys that I think would be coaches, or guys that I think have coaching hearts or coaching mindsets or whatever, that have been in the Cowboys locker room. I mean, everybody thought that about Kellen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but that's a little different. But in terms of the guys who are actively out there contributing on the field, I think everybody's always thought that about Jason Witten and Sean Lee. Like, that's their calling. And that's the way they seem to approach the game and think about the game. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, when they announced that Doug Nussmeier was, or not when they announced, when it was, you know, passed along to a few people that Doug Nussmeier was likely going up to the booth to be eye in the sky, working with the analytics team, helping out, you know, with the offensive game plan, having more of a hands-on approach there. There was always this thought that, okay, is he going to relinquish tight end coach? Is he going to be called passing game coordinator? If he's not going to relinquish that, shouldn't they get an assistant in here? Right. And so, you know, that's where they've kind of come down on this, is that, you know, let Witten play this year, be the assistant, and then I wouldn't be surprised to see him just transition into being on the coaching staff full time after next season.
Well, and the Cowboys have had like a revolving door, specifically a tight ends coach. So maybe it was just a matter of, okay, you know what? Let's just get the guy. You know, let's just stop, you know, messing around here. Let's get the guy, and then we'll figure it out from there.
Sure. No, and that's completely plausible too. I think when you look at you know, you've got Mark Colombo last year, even though he was actually on the coaching staff, he was not player coach. He was the assistant offensive line coach, but he was really kind of starting to take over things even before Paul Alexander was fired. And so I think in a way you're going to kind of see that from Jason Witten. I mean, in a lot of ways, Sean Lee already is and has been your assistant linebackers coach. Mm-hmm. I remember out of practice a couple times last year, Ben Bloom, you know, who is more than a steady hand. I don't want to make this sound like Ben Bloom was timid and couldn't handle it and was deferring to the veteran or anything like that. But there were a lot of times where Ben Bloom would start out practice and, you know, he'd say, hey, 50, what do you want to do here? What do you want us to do? And like, would basically let Sean Lee set up the drills. And so Sean Lee, in a lot of ways, is already your assistant linebacker coach. So I assume it's going to kind of be that way with Jason, and Jason's going to kind of already, you know, function as, you know, assistant tight ends coach. You know, it's just going to kind of be in practice, not really in name or anything.
My last thing on Witten before we go with a little bit of a rapid fire round, because I know how much you love those. By the way, shout out to Paul Alexander, partially responsible for one of your most viral tweets ever. So last season in the booth, Witten, I don't know if you know this or if you saw my tweet about this, he called games that featured 10 of the 13 teams that the Cowboys will play in 2019. The only teams he did not have a game for were the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Lions. The Lions Monday night game was the first one of the season, so that was the Rex Ryan, Beth Mowins crew. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's like the most incredible thing ever, but I feel like that has to be valuable. Like the production meetings that he had, it's got to be something.
I think that's really interesting because I don't think anybody anticipated Witten going back to the field.
Right.
I remember it was a storyline a little bit that people wondered, like, has Gruden gained an unfair advantage, like talking to these coaches really openly about their philosophies,
right,
like them sharing insights. And that was even, you know, years after he had coached, when it was starting to be rumored that maybe he'd jump back in. I don't think anybody had that concern with Witt.
I mean, I
think if somebody was going to, you know, maybe they would have that concern more with Romo than anybody. But I don't think anybody felt like they needed to guard info, like maybe he'll be back out there one day.
Right.
And so it's possible that, yeah, he gained a lot of, you know, really valuable, you know, really incredible experience and intel while he was doing that. And so, you know, I think that, you know, certainly could be put to use. I do think that, and I was sitting here trying to think of it, and I remembered Witten was 03, so we're just a little bit off of this. But Witten was drafted in 2003. I was hoping that would have made him the fourth top 100 pick from the same draft on the Cowboys coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can just say that the Cowboys have, you know, four top 100 picks split between the 2002 and 2003 draft on their coaching staff, essentially, because Witten was 03. Gerard, Chris Richard, and Mark Colombo all went top 100 in the 2002 draft. And it's actually stunning. I think that both Andre Gerard and Philip Tanner are going to be added as assistant coaches to the staff in an official capacity. I think Gerard's already been announced. I think Tanner's coming. And so, like, when you start looking through the number of not just former players, but like former Cowboys now on this staff, it's kind of unreal. You've got Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, John Kitna, Mark Colombo, technically Jason Witten, Andre Gerard, Philip Tanner, Leon Lett, and then, you know, they're didn't play with the Cowboys, but another former player in Chris Richard on the defensive side. So it's very player heavy. I'd be interested to kind of cross-reference and see how different that is from other NFL coaching staffs.
Sure. All the while, Miles Austin has to coach in San Francisco. Not good enough to join the Cowboys coaching staff, apparently. So who knows? By the way, you should bring back, you had a great tweet last year of Witten and Chris Richard on the field together playing a game. Should bring that back. Yeah. Bring it back. Okay, so again, rapid fire sort of round here. Friday morning, Pro Football Talk reported that Earl Thomas wants to become the highest paid safety in the NFL and will reportedly offer no hometown discount to the Cowboys. Your thoughts?
Absolutely unsurprising. I can understand that's what he wants. I don't know that it's what he's going to get. I know some people said market's going to be fine for him. He's still highly productive. I need to see it. I don't know that he's going to get what he wants, but I do think it's interesting that I mean, who would you think in this free agent market is set to be the highest paid safety in the NFL?
I mean, probably, yeah. Earl. Yeah, if I had to put my money on somebody, no pun intended, it would be Earl, just based off of legacy. Landon Collins. I mean, Landon would be the guess.
Young guy, all pro, a guy who could get it. The funny thing is, I imagine Landon Collins also wants to be the highest paid safety in the NFL. They have the same agent. David Mulugeta is the agent for Landon Collins and Earl Thomas. He can't make both of them the highest paid safety unless they get identical deals. So I think that'll be an interesting way to see how that kind of plays out in terms of their contract negotiations. Because I got to think Mulugeta is going to use each one of those players to push up the other's value in negotiations.
Interesting. That's a good point right there. That's some business strategy. You could be you could work on Wall Street, I think. Probably not, but I mean, I believe in you.
I don't know if you recall this. You remember when there was a little bit of chatter or buzz or I guess concern from around the league when Demaryius Thomas and Dez Bryant signed their deals?
Of course I remember that. Same agent.
There was collusion that they were going to, that they were going to end up, and they did end up with really similar deals. So I'd be interested to see if that kind of thing happens again with Mulugeta representing the two biggest safeties on the market.
Interesting point. Something interesting to watch. That's why we bring you on, Bobby, because you're the man. You reported on Thursday that the Cowboys had a formal meeting with Charlotte offensive guard Nate Davis. Any other breadcrumbs you have for a starving audience?
I know they had a formal meeting with Dalton Reisner, the offensive lineman from Kansas State. He's a tackle. He's probably, I mean, I think a lot of people project him as a guard. I think some actually have said they thought he could play center. So he's a really flexible rotational piece. He's really smart. I think, outside of Davis and Reisner, some other formal meetings. I saw that John Machota said they've talked to Travion Williams from Texas A&M, the running back. I know they didn't have formal meetings, but I know they spoke with Paul Adams, the offensive tackle from Missouri. And so Mark Colombo spoke with him for about 15 minutes, I think, on Wednesday night. They've also had some just informal chat with some other guys. I believe they've also had, from what I heard, they had a formal meeting with Ethan Greenidge, the offensive tackle from Villanova, who also might be more of a guard. He'd be a late day three kind of guy. And it sounds like they've also had a meeting with Max Sharping. That one I'm still trying to confirm, but it sounds like they've met with Max Sharping, who would be really interesting because I believe it was Dane Brugler reported that he was a, straight A student, all through college, and he got one A minus on an English exam, and it still upsets him. And so, yeah, so he's really smart, which is something the Cowboys have always looked for in their offensive linemen. But do you know what school Max Sharping is from, RJ, as an offensive tackle?
I do not. I'm kind of shocked that we're talking about a Villanova football player, to be honest, but I do not know.
Northern Illinois. Do you know why that is?
I feel like I should. That is what?
Doug Free.
Look at that. Look at that. Full circle we've gone.
The Cowboys have a history of tackles out of Northern Illinois. Wow. So we know they're not quite scared of it, but I think this is also an indicator. I mean, there are two things to glean from this. They've talked to a lot of offensive linemen already, but really, the only guys getting meetings scheduled yesterday were offensive linemen and running backs. So I don't think that's too outrageous. And it's not like they get 30 visits with guys at the combine. I think they get 60. They can have 60 formal meetings with, 300-something players. So they're a little more free with them. I don't think it's as much of an indicator. It's definitely an indicator of interest, but it's not as much of one as a national visit. So because offensive linemen and running backs were the only ones really scheduling meetings yesterday. And so I don't think we can necessarily say, wow, Cowboys are really targeting offensive linemen because they got a ton of visits and they're really just two positions you could schedule yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is interesting that there's been a lot of talk to, tackles. And Dalton Reisner is probably a top 100 pick. Max Sharping is probably a top 100 pick. And I think if you're using, a top 100 pick on an offensive tackle, that you're likely looking at Lyle Collins' replacement, who's entering the last year of his deal.
Right. Interesting. Well, you know what they say about Northern Illinois, Bobby. It's the Boise State of the Midwest. Finally, I feel like this point hasn't been discussed a lot on Twitter. Maybe you've seen more of it than I have. So I'm curious for your take on it. Dan Graziano, who does a fantastic job for ESPN, he had an article, I think it was on Monday, and he explained some of the quirks in the CBA with it expiring next season. And something very interesting, next offseason, the offseason of 2020, teams can apply both the franchise and transition tags. Normally, obviously, as you know, you can only apply one. But next season, because it is listed as what is a, I think it's the final league year. There's some legitimate term for it. Because it is that, you can apply both. And so I'm curious, the example he used was, say you don't get a deal done with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper, you can tag them both a year from now and at least just kind of buy yourself the time. I feel like that's the path that Byron Jones is headed down. I don't know. I'm just curious for your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, I saw an article from Robert Mays in The Ringer that's, you know, talked about some of the buzz out of the combine was Cowboys extending their own guys. And one of the guys that he noted was, potentially Byron Jones gets a multi-year deal, which I think kind of surprises me because I think if the Cowboys are going to, you know, they got five guys that are really important pieces coming up. D-Law, Arthur here, Dak Prescott, Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, and Byron Jones. The guys I've kind of worried about slipping through the cracks in that group are going to have been Ezekiel Elliott and Byron Jones.
Right.
I'd be surprised, I think, if he got an extension, but it was interesting at least to note that that was kind of the buzz out of Indy, I guess, according to The Ringer. But, you know, yeah, I think I heard Joel Corey say similar things about being able to, you know, use those tags and the kind of unique circumstances that they present. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's how the Cowboys approached it. I mean, the other thing they could do there is it also would then just kind of put the onus on getting one guy done out of the three who are going to be expired next year between Byron, Amari Cooper, and Dak Prescott. Because then you could get one done and then you could use those two tags.
Right.
But I mean, I definitely think they have to get at least one of those guys done. I think they will get Dak Prescott done this year.
Yeah.
I think there's undue panic about his deal, about a lot of these deals in general. But you know, I think specifically in relation to Dak's deal, a lot of people just have had hair on fire responses for absolutely no reason. I mean, you look at Cam Newton was the, what was he? He was the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL when he signed his extension. 2 years after his extension or after the second year of his extension. So he played the last year of his rookie deal, and then he played, you know, whatever after the into the extension deal. He's now the 12th highest paid quarterback.
Right.
And that's before Dak and Goff and Mariota. And, you know, I mean, somebody will probably pay Jameis Winston. Who knows how much, but somebody will pay Winston down the road. And, you know, you've got Carson Wentz coming up. And in a few years, you're probably looking at extensions already for Pat Mahomes and guys like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Cam Newton was the second highest paid. 3 years later, he's, you know, the 12th highest paid quarterback, and he's likely to get pushed down to about 16 right. really quickly.
No, I mean, so it's the nature of it.
It's cyclical, and this is not like salaries are growing exorbitantly while the cap stays the same. The cap is going up, quarterback salaries are going up with it, and they're cycling down. And so Dak is not going to – Dak's going to look like a bargain in 4 years if he signs a top contract.
I agree. I mean, you're using Cam. You could use Derek Carr. You could use Andrew Luck. I mean, you know, basically any contract, say for Aaron Rodgers, you can say, okay, at one point that looked exorbitant. Now it's, you know, average. I do think the Derek Carr point. See, if you want to die on the Cam sword, that's fine. I'll die on the Derek Carr sword. At the time that Derek Carr got his deal, which if you don't remember at the moment, it was 25 a year. At the time, he had a 61% completion percentage. Dak has a 66.1. He had thrown for about 1,300 more yards than Dak. He had 81 total touchdowns that were all through the air. Dak has 67 passing and 18 on the ground. Carr had more interceptions. He had 10 less wins. He had no division titles. He had no playoff win. I mean, you're right. I mean, it's kind of just unbelievable how many refuse to accept the facts of it all.
Well, and I mean, you take a look at, for instance, I know one of the deals that people have been kind of leery of is that it's like, man, what if Dak signs the same sort of deal that Jimmy Garoppolo does? And Garoppolo's contract was so expensive. There was $74 million guaranteed. It was, you know, almost $28 million annually. The way that like these contracts are structured, it's not like that. You hear $74 million guaranteed and you don't realize that it's $41 million guaranteed at signing. That's mm-hmm. the big, what's guaranteed at signing. Because for instance, if you were to, if you were to go ahead and cut Jimmy Garoppolo right now, a year after his extension, let's say that things had fallen apart and you know, the 49ers no longer believed in him. Did you know that if you were to cut him right now, they would save $6 million on their cap? They're already in a year with that contract where if they cut him, it's cap savings.
Look at you. Just talking about good things.
Because that's the thing. A lot of these have triggers in them. April 1st, another big chunk of Jimmy Garoppolo's money becomes guaranteed. But the 49ers have this exit if they need it. A lot of people have talked about it. I know Matt Harmon wrote an article calling Andy Dalton not worth his contract. I think the Bengals have been clear of any sort of cap penalties from Andy Dalton's contract for about 3 years now. He was only guaranteed $19 million. They are willingly paying out this $116 million. Mm-hmm. See, the thing that people need to realize, you know, generally just teams don't dump out of quarterback contracts because it's such a scary place to be. It's not that you necessarily can't.
Yeah.
Generally, sometimes you can't, or that it puts you in cap hell is when you do things like the Cowboys did with Romo and Witten and all these restructures and kicking money down the road and things like that. And so any good contract Dak signs, I'm willing to bet anything that starting with after year one, there are going to be yearly exits throughout the rest of the extension. Not the year after his, you know, he'd play this year, which is the end of his rookie deal.
Right.
Then first year of the extension. So we're talking about
the 2021 season.
Yeah, after the 2020 season, before the 2021 league year, I would bet almost anything, whatever extension he signs, there's going to be an opportunity to cut him with cap savings ahead of the 2021 league year starting. That's how almost all of these quarterback deals are structured outside of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins got the fully guaranteed deal. That is the only one you can't walk away from in the NFL. But if you look at the top 10 contracts outside of Kirk Cousins, the top 10 highest paid quarterbacks in the NFL in terms of guaranteed money, you can dump out of every single one of them with cap savings after either the first or second year of the extension going into place. And so if you sign Dak Prescott, you really don't have to be worried about the deal unless you start seeing them do restructures. And if they're doing restructures, that means they've already committed to having him for 5 years anyway. They want him for 5 years, and that's the bed the Cowboys have decided to lie in.
Interesting stuff, Bobby. Thanks for taking some time with us this particular Friday. We hope you have a great weekend. As always, go Spurs go. Appreciate it, amigo. Follow him on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX. You're the man.
Absolutely. Can I make one last request really quickly?
Obviously.
When you go to edit this down, can you edit out or can you mix down as our outro music Friday by Rebecca Black?
We'll see what I can do. But I'm gonna leave this part in so people can at least know that you wanted it if I'm unable to.
Okay, all right. Fair enough.
All right, Bobby. Thanks a lot, man. Have a good one.
Love you.
Well, that was really cool and a really great chat. And many thanks to Bobby Belt for joining us again. Encourage you to follow him on Twitter at BobbyBeltTX, one of the fantastic Cowboys insiders that roam the Twitter streets. And got a lot of feedback this week and appreciate you if you reached out about our new off-season format. This is our first full week of it. Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we'll be posting podcast-only episodes, and the goal is to have some interesting guests. This week, we had my dad and Bobby and Jay Sternberger of Texas A&M, so a pretty cool week to get things started. Tuesdays and Thursdays, barring unforeseen circumstances, will be Ocho Live as it has always existed, the live shows on Twitter and Periscope and Facebook Live, and we'll post the audio later for those of you that do enjoy the podcast element of the show. We'll be back on Monday. There is the NFL Combine going on this weekend. Certainly hope you enjoy that. And busy weekend for me. Sunday, the San Antonio Commanders will be in Birmingham to take on the Birmingham Iron. If you were unaware, I'm one half of the pre- and post-game show for the Commanders on 1250 ESPN San Antonio. So if you get a chance, give us a listen. We go on at 2 p.m. Central Time on Sunday. It'll be myself and Rob Thompson and James Pledger. We'll have a grand time, hopefully setting the stage for the second Commanders victory ever. Have a great weekend. As always, encourage you to follow on the Twitter sphere. I am at RJ Ochoa. Make sure you follow at Blogging the Boys, and make sure you follow us on Instagram. We've been beefing up our Instagram coverage, and it's really starting to get really cool. So give us a follow, blogging.the.boys. You know, we had to throw in those dots because sometimes, you know, that's what it takes. Enjoy your weekend, whatever you got going on. We hope it is so much fun. We will see you mañana, my friends. As always, go Cowboys. And peace out.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.